we need to spend, and most importantly, acquire the kind of equipment we need to acquire. But we can do this knowing that simultaneously Donald Trump is running multiple negotiations at the same time with the EU, which, as you know, is an incredibly sensitive stage right now, with Japan, with South Korea, with Vietnam, with China. I mean, I could go on. The list is endless. And at a moment of that sort of overload, you could say, in US, the UK, I think, has room to be clever, is the only word I can use, which is try to squeeze through some, you know, some agreements that are beneficial to the UK, but that don't look like they're cutting across the bows of what the US wants to do with the European Union. And if I look at the rather skeletal UK-US trade agreement, I mean, and my view on it is that actually the UK did pretty well out of it. Everyone expected us at least to have to lift the digital tax, and we haven't. There's some question as to whether Chinese investment in the UK and products that might contain Chinese inputs that are then sold to America might come under some extra tariff regime. But by the way, you know, everyone's going to face that same problem. So, you know, and I look at how Mark Carney, if I can just jump to this quickly, you know, Mark Carney sort of joked his way through what could have been a very tense meeting in the Oval Office. I think Trump's picking his battles, and the UK has concluded that we are a useful tool, to be honest, for the Trump administration to threaten other governments with. Look, I've got this deal with the UK. You know, what are you going to do for me? At the moment, we're just not in Trump's crosshairs. And in the end, that state visit, that second state visit with King Charles, etc., is, you know, is a nice little offer which Trump has pocketed and doesn't want to ruin.
Sir Robin Niblett, the former director of Chatham House, now one of its distinguished fellows, thanks very much indeed for being with us on the programme tonight. And while we've been talking about all of this, we have Donald Trump's response to the King's speech in Canada. He has taken to his social media platform tonight and again promoted the idea of Canada becoming America's 51st state. You can't make it up. Into our final hour together tonight, we're going to talk about the future of cannabis laws here in the UK. We're going to reveal the outcomes of a new report conducted by the Independent London Drug Commission, a comprehensive study of cannabis that it says will spark a new, robust national conversation about whether it's time to advance the process of legalising the drugs. We'll detail the report's conclusions and then ask you what you think about them. If you are a cannabis user, or even if you're not, do you think it's time to stop prosecuting people who possess small amounts of cannabis for personal use? Or do you think it's a gateway drug and should remain a controlled substance in order to protect society?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, it's believed a car which was driven into crowds in Liverpool on Monday followed an ambulance through a roadblock. A man in his 50s is being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving and driving while unfit through drugs. 11 people remain in hospital in a stable condition after 65 were injured following Liverpool's Premier League title parade. George Sefton has been stadium announcer at Anfield for 5 decades and told LBC it was a dark end to a celebratory weekend.
Such a wonderful day, celebration of what we've just done. So now, I'm like nobody else, that I'm thinking that forevermore, when people talk about winning the Premier League in 2025, that's all people will remember, the disaster at the end of it.
A man who had taken at least 20 lines of cocaine has been jailed for at least 12 years after a three-year-old girl was killed in a crash in Manchester. Louisa Palmisanto was hit by a van in the city centre in February. LBC's reporter Jess Reeves has more details.
The van had crashed into a tram, forcing it onto the pavement, veering into Lulu. She was taken to hospital with injuries but died a short time later. Rawal Rahman abandoned the van and fled the scene on Booth Street in a taxi, but he was arrested in a restaurant a few days later. The 36-year-old was sentenced to 12 years in prison for causing death by dangerous driving.
The King's warned Canadians face a critical moment in their history as he opened the country's parliament. His speech comes as Donald Trump imposes trade tariffs and threatens to make Canada the 51st US state. Four Just Stop Oil protesters have been jailed for planning to disrupt Manchester Airport. The group were arrested in August last year while equipped with heavy-duty bolt cutters, angle grinders, glue, sand and high-visibility vests. And the UK economy is forecast to grow this year more than previously thought. The International Monetary Fund upgraded its outlook, with GDP now expected to increase by 1.2%. But the IMF also warns that trade tensions linked to Donald Trump's global tariffs will impact growth next year. LBC weather, patchy cloud with some sunny spells today with the odd light shower for most, turning cloudy and windy in the far west towards the evening, a high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Daryl Jackson.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Simon Marks.
Good morning to you. I am in for Ben Kentish, here for another hour, then back again at 10 o'clock tonight, and again on Thursday, sitting in for Ben. And we have fresh news for you now about the possible future of cannabis laws in the UK. A brand new report by the Independent London Drug Commission has just been made available, and it makes 42 separate recommendations that, if they were adopted by the government and turned into legislation, would make significant alterations to the way in which the drug is regulated. Among the recommendations, they don't call for the legalization of cannabis, but they do think it should no longer be a crime to possess small amounts of the drug for personal use. After taking evidence from more than 200 experts and academics from across the UK and around the world, Lord Falconer, the Commission Chair, says that while cannabis is an addictive substance, the inclusion of cannabis as a Class B drug under the Misuse of Drugs Act is disproportionate to the harms it can pose. The sentencing options currently available, especially for personal possession, the report concludes, cannot be justified when they are balanced against the longer-term impacts of things like stop and search or serving a jail sentence. So this is big stuff. They say the production and supply of cannabis would still be policed and remain criminal, but by legalising possession of cannabis for personal use, they hope to spare the black community, particularly in the UK, from stop and search and other profiling. Lord Falconer says it is clear that a fundamental reset is required, but, he says, legalisation is not the answer. Now, as you know, I live in Washington, D.C., part of the world where cannabis is now legal. Like so many other jurisdictions in the United States, we've got cannabis dispensaries all over the city now. They are discreet, but they are extremely busy. And apart from constantly finding myself in a fog of public marijuana smoke, I can't say I've noticed civilization collapsing around me. Of course, in more conservative parts of America, cannabis is still proscribed, considered by many to be a gateway substance that leads users to harder drugs and much bigger problems. If you are a user, or even if you're not, isn't it time to legalize cannabis? Tax cannabis sales. Use the revenues to fill some of the public spending gaps the country is facing. We do it with tobacco. We do it with booze. Why not do it with marijuana? Or do you think it's a slippery slope? Tell me why you oppose legalization. This commission report is designed to spark a robust national debate. So, as we lead Britain's conversation this hour, let's get it started. You can call me at 0345 6060 973. You can WhatsApp messages to that number as well. You can text 84850. You can ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. Do you think it's time to legalise cannabis, or do you still want to see it being a controlled substance in the UK? We are going to start this hour by talking with Peter Reynolds, the president of CLEAR, which campaigns for cannabis legalisation. civilization. And Mr. Reynolds, thanks so much for being with us on the programme as we delve into this new commission report just out. On the face of it, it does seem to be recommending some fairly major moves, doesn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, I think I welcome any progress. I think it's an innovative idea that they've come up with, and that is to remove cannabis from the Misuse of Drugs Act so that it would be still controlled under the Psychoactive Substances Act. What this means, in effect, is decriminalization of personal possession of cannabis, which is a very good thing, because, I mean, the idea that anybody should be criminalized for personal use or possession of cannabis is ridiculous to my mind. There has to be some bodily autonomy in this world. And when you're talking about a substance that is considerably less harmful than alcohol or any other drug, it's really crazy the situation we've got ourselves into. But I do have some serious concerns about it. I mean, I think the elephant in the room is that both the National Crime Agency and the Home Office agree that the cause of most crime and violence in the UK is criminal drugs markets. And the biggest criminal drugs market is cannabis. And criminal drugs markets drive crime and violence. The cannabis market drives crime and violence. It's what drives knife crime in London. It's what is used by gangsters to inveigle young people into county lines, not because cannabis is sold through county lines, hard drugs are sold through county lines, but youngsters are offered a little bit of weed to get them involved, and that's what it leads to. So it's not cannabis that is causing this problem, it's the laws against cannabis. And the laws against cannabis cause far more harm than cannabis ever has.
But if it's going to not be, were the terms of this report to be translated into legislation, if it was not going to be a criminal act to possess small quantities of cannabis for personal use, would that not have a knock-on impact on the underground nature of the marketplace?
Well, I think it might have exactly the wrong knock-on impacts. And this is the big danger with decriminalisation. Because whilst I welcome the fact that people won't be penalised for doing something which they shouldn't be penalised for, the trouble is that it frees the market up. It means that the criminals, the gangsters, the violent criminal gangs that are selling cannabis no longer have to worry about the fact that they're people they're selling it to aren't going to be criminalized. And they can send youngsters, children, because exploitation is a big thing in the cannabis market as well. They can send children out with small quantities of cannabis who are selling it, but can simply claim it's for their personal use. And in fact, it could make the whole situation worse. That's the big danger with decriminalization. That's why what we need is full legal regulation.
Now, the report says that it can identify gains from legislation, including tax revenues and reductions in criminalisation can be realised early. But, they say, the extent of harms, particularly with respect to public health, as well as personal and societal costs, take longer to emerge and are not yet well understood. To which you say...
I say that the risks to public health are vastly exaggerated. They have been for 100 years. If you look at what any of the scientists say, such as David Nutt, such as David Nutt's predecessor at the Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs, Professor Les Iverson, who said cannabis is less harmful than aspirin. If you look at what the scientists say, they will tell you that cannabis is much less, it is not very harmful. The reason cannabis is so harmful is because it's illegal, is because of the laws against it. We've seen a massive increase in the potency of cannabis over the last 20, 30 years. Now, that's happened because cannabis is prohibited, because we have the laws against cannabis. The law causes all the harm here. If cannabis was properly legally regulated, as it is in Canada, then we'd be able to enjoy the same success as Canada is having. And Canada, after just 6 years, 7 years, has now got to the stage where 80% of all cannabis sold is through legal channels, 80%, which is an amazing achievement. They're fighting crime. There's no increase in mental health impacts. There's been another study done in the States where they looked at 64 million people. And they saw there is no increase in mental health impacts in states where cannabis is legal as opposed to states where it isn't. The evidence is distorted about cannabis. And this is the other issue I have with this report, is where they ask for a robust public debate.
Yes, well, I was going to ask you about that. They say they are setting the scene for a robust national debate on cannabis. What's your concern about the possibilities for that robust debate?
Well, I mean, I'm quite happy. I've been engaging in robust debate about this for decades. But I mean, my concern is that it's a dog whistle issue. You know, it brings out the very, very worst in politicians and in journalists. Politicians, all they want to talk about is how tough they're going to be on drugs, when in fact the tougher they are on drugs, the more dangerous they make them. And journalists come out with all these ridiculous tropes, completely false tropes about cannabis that have been disproved by science again and again and again, but they keep on coming out with them. So that's what concerns me about a robust political debate.
But Peter, there must, I mean, as a journalist myself, but one who actually usually lives in the United States and in Washington, D.C., where marijuana is completely legalized at this point. There are shops all over the city now selling it. I mean, to be honest with you, you can't get on a bus in Washington, D.C. these days without being engulfed with smoke from people that have been partaking of cannabis. I mean, there is copious amounts of evidence now that campaigners like yourself have to point to overseas that you can legalize it, and that robust debate surely could end up with an argument that moves much more in favour of legalisation of cannabis here.
Well, that's true. The thing that concerns me, I mean, listen, if there is a robust public debate, then I hope to be, at the forefront of it. I hope you'll be interviewing me again. The thing that concerns me, as I said, is that it's a toxic issue in Britain. I think it's because there's such a long history of misinformation and disinformation in Britain. You may not be aware that this year, 2025, is exactly 100 years since cannabis was first prohibited in Europe. It was the 1925 International Opium Convention that first banned cannabis. And it did so at the behest of Egyptian cotton farmers, because it was believed that cannabis, or hemp in the hemp form, was a rival in terms of textile manufacturers. That's the real reason cannabis was banned. And what we've had built up around it is all this hysteria about health harms. I'm not saying cannabis is harmless, because it isn't. But, I mean, if you look at the actual science about how harmful cannabis is, it's about as harmful as coffee to most people. By all means, let's have the debate. But really what I think we need to do is we need to base this on scientific evidence. That's the real issue here. The evidence is clear. And as long as the debate is done on the basis of evidence, then I'm all for it.
And, Peter, do you have any sense of where the government is likely to go on this issue?
Well, I shall try very hard to disguise my contempt for this government, but I think they'll just want to be tough on drugs, because that's the sound bites that they think will work for them. In fact, of course, if you talk to the average Briton and you talk to them seriously about this and ask them whether they want their relatives, their friends, their family, their brothers, their sisters, their sons, their daughters, if you want them penalised or given a criminal record for cannabis, they'll say, of course we don't. It's when the hysteria comes up about, people like Peter Hitchens or Melanie Phillips claiming that it's going to ravage our mental health wards, which is complete nonsense. That's when people get anxious. So as long as the debate is conducted on the basis of evidence, then that's fine.
Well, I'm not sure you have successfully disguised your contempt for the government, but Peter Reynolds, thank you so much for joining us on the programme this morning. Peter is the president of CLEAR, which, as you heard, campaigns for cannabis legalisation. So now over to you. If you are a cannabis user, I'm guessing you think the drug should be legalised. If you've ever been nicked for using cannabis, what was that experience like? If you're opposed to legalisation, call in and tell us why. 0345 6060973. You can text 84850. You can ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC at 19 minutes past midnight.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
Just accept we need stop and search.
Straight to the point.
This is a shocking night.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
When was the last time your party was in touch with the electorate?
Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963. A Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity, we actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF, change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
Simon Marks on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Or you can text 84850, which is what Celia has done, saying of the possible legalisation of cannabis that the elephant in the room will be the smell. Your next door neighbour will be allowed to smoke cannabis with their windows open. I think there are quite a lot of people already smoking cannabis with their windows open. I can certainly tell you that I have had that experience of inhaling cannabis smoke on a summer's afternoon from a residential window that I was passing. And I can tell you that from living in Washington, D.C., and I'm not opposed to legalization, but once you legalize, there is no turning back. And Celia is right. You will not be able to get away from the smell. It blankets Washington, D.C. now. You encounter it all the time, wherever you go. Let's go to the phone lines. Kevin is a first-time caller to LBC from Bexley Heath. Kevin, thanks very much for calling in tonight. What did you like? What would you like to say?
Good evening, Simon. You're over-exaggerating, mate. I'm a legal medical cannabis patient. I'm 60 years of age, and I've come off 22 tablets a day that melted my insides. Okay, and it saved my life. We could save £2 billion a year by regulation.
Kevin, explain to me.
Let me explain this to you as a patient and as a human being. We've all got an ECS. It's called an endocannabinoid system. Every living vertebrate has it, and it's deficient because we don't consume cannabinoids. It's why people get sick. People with. And the problem we've got currently is that gangsters don't ask for ID. That's why kids can deal with it and get away with it. And we need a regulated market. If you use vaporizers, then the smell isn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you teach people about the cannabinoids and the temperatures to vape at, as well as the terpenoids and the flavonoids. They're all medicine, and it's all therapeutic. Even people that use it just for recreation or are medicating and don't realise it. The problem we've got is the tobacco. We've got to stop people using tobacco with it because that's really bad. Tobacco is a neurotoxin. Cannabis is a neuroprotectant. THC is patented as a neuroprotectant.
And
CBD kills MRSA on touch.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got this amazing plant that we can't use. We've had it not being able to use it properly for over 100 years. I've worked with drug science, with Professor David Dunn. I was one of the patients on the study, on the T21 study, as is my partner, who's also come off of 22 tablets a day. It's dangerous, these tablets. Cannabis is so much safer. It's safer than sugar. It's literally that much safer. And it is all blown out of proportion.
And Kevin, if just people, explain, because I didn't realise until...
If people were educated around it, it wouldn't be so bad.
I didn't realise until...
We've got to get rid of the gangsters, and we've got to get rid of all the wrong stuff around it. And it's overblown. And if people were educated properly, they'd find it is safer than sugar. Just think of the kids. It was legalised because kids were having seizures. Intractable epilepsy, where no other drugs can help them. And there's only three legal prescriptions since 2018. That's disgusting.
So just explain that, Kevin, just explain that, because I was not aware until this evening that cannabis... As a medical tool, which is so widely used across the United States, for example, and in other countries,
across the planet,
and that is not something that takes place here. It's very rarely used, right?
Yes. Well, listen. Since 2018, how many GPs have been trained in the ECS? It's disgusting. I shouldn't be paying £200 a month for my medicine that costs 80 pence a gram to grow it yourself. I shouldn't be paying £6 up to £10 a gram. The private system is trying to mimic the illicit market, where it is £10 a gram plus. It's disgusting. If we had a legal, regulated market, it would remove all that. We'd save £2 billion a year in the judiciary, and we'd also earn up to £7 billion in a legal market. It's unbelievable how we're this far backward. And I'm 60. I've been around the block, fella. I used to work for the Crown. I used to collect debts and all sorts of stuff.
And presumably...
I've been there and done that, and I'm using medical cannabis for my chronic pain.
Understood.
I've had to go plant-based, and I've had to try and repair my microbiome from the damage that 8,030 tablets did to me each year.
Mm. Kevin...
We've got safer alternatives, and cannabis is relatively safe. The previous chap, Peter Reynolds, was bang on the money.
Right.
It's over-exploded with all the dangers. It's Harry J. Anslinger in 1930 that created the worst of it, and it's been perpetuated ever since. Just speak to the specialists. Speak to the 70,000 paying patients in the UK currently. 70,000, and it's growing. There's loads of private clinics now.
Kevin, thanks very much indeed for calling in. First-time caller to LBC, sharing his experiences and frustration with the situation regarding the availability of cannabis as a medical tool. Let's go to Dave in Surbiton. Dave, good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening. It would be safer if it was legalised. The fact that it's illegal has caused it to have the CBD, which is an antipsychotic, bred out of it, because these skunk plants, they basically harvest much quicker, you get bigger yields. So that's been favoured by producers in this country as an illegal plant. And so for example, most cannabis in legal markets, the majority of that has quite high CBD levels. And so that's one of the reasons why people would have psychosis and other mental health problems, because CBD is an antipsychotic. There's lots of other reasons why it would be safer if it were legalised.
Oh, I think we just lost Dave in Surbiton. Literally just, I think that call just absolutely disappeared. We'll see if we can get him back. Let's go to Ross, a first-time caller from Aberdeen. Ross, good evening. Thanks for calling LBC for the first time. What would you like to say?
Hi there. Great to be on. A little bit nervous, but we'll give it a crack.
It's just you and me, Ross. It's going to be fine.
Just you and me. Super. Yeah, I'm a bus driver up in Aberdeen, and already, you know, it's like a constant haze, like you say. They're continually kind of wafting through these clouds of marijuana smoke, and I feel like taking the legal element off of it, you know, you're just going to open it up so much antisocial behaviour, kind of exasperating a problem that's already there.
But why do you think, why antisocial behaviour? I mean, I understand what you're saying about the smell of it and the smoke, and as I say, I encounter that on a daily basis where I usually find myself on the other side of the Atlantic. But why do you think it's going to contribute to antisocial behaviour?
It's not really something people do, you know, just in their own free time. It's usually kind of groups. I can say I'm a young person, I'm only 21, so I can say this without sounding incredibly prejudiced here, but it's usually, you know, swaths of kind of young people, street drinking, smoking weed, you know, all kind of ties in together. It's, you know, you can see it everywhere you go these days.
Okay, so to pursue your argument to its logical conclusion, we'd ban drinking as well then?
Well, I'd say banning drinking in public, certainly, yeah. If you're, you know, out in the street, probably shouldn't be, you know, chugging down a bottle, just wandering about.
I mean, I see we've had a text in from at least one listener making the point that this is from Phil, who texts in from Streatham, saying alcohol is the gateway drug alongside tobacco. We were all smoking before we discovered weed, and we got seriously drunk long before we tried cocaine. Other listeners have texted in to say that alcohol is a known carcinogen, and yet it is legally available. Why not legalize cannabis as well?
Well, I think to legalise cannabis, there'll have to be a lot of restrictions on how and where you can consume it in a kind of socially respectful manner. And I don't think the current government's got the tact or the ability to really implement such a vast policy.
All right, Ross, thanks very much indeed. Ross, a first-time caller to LBC from Aberdeen. We're going to continue talking about cannabis and its possible legalisation, whether you support it, like many of our listeners do, or whether, as Ross was arguing there, you do not think it should come off the list of controlled substances. You can join the conversation at 0345 6060973. You can text 84850, or you can ask Alexa to send a message to LBC. And if you have been arrested for cannabis possession, I'm particularly interested in hearing what that experience must have been like. Time on LBC, exactly 12:30. News headlines come from Daryl Jackson.
Detectives in Liverpool have been given extra time to question a man on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving. It's after a car drove into pedestrians during Monday's Premier League trophy parade, injuring 65 people. It's believed the car got through roadblocks by following an ambulance. A man's been charged with the attempted murder of a police officer in Buckinghamshire. PC Christopher Miller is in hospital with life-threatening injuries after a crash while on duty in Stoke Poges on Thursday. And the King says a relationship between Canada and the US, rooted in mutual respect, can deliver transformational benefits for both countries. Charles is only the second monarch to give an address at the state opening of Parliament in Canada. LBC weather, patchy cloud with sunny spells today and the odd light shower for most, turning cloudy and windy in the far west towards the evening and a high of 23 degrees.
LBC.
You could be a lotto millionaire like Terry. Get your ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Imagine your dream holiday made possible by comparing cheap flights on Kayak. Walking on an unspoilt goes on for miles beach on the Sardinian coast. Plunging into the splendour of an idyllic lagoon in Greece. Ah, yes. This is the life. All you have to do is actually book it. Don't holidays. Use Kayak to compare prices from hundreds of travel sites and airlines to find your dream deal. Search Kayak and go see for yourself.
What's your possible? The vision only you can make happen. Whatever the size of your business, accelerate your growth with the Intuit QuickBooks AI-powered platform. Power your possible with the number one recommended cloud accounting software, Intuit QuickBooks. Based on a survey of 506 UK accounting professionals. Verify at quickbooks.co.uk/verify.
This is LBC with Simon Marks. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
And we're talking about this new report by the Independent London Drug Commission that is making recommendations on the regulation of cannabis and arguing that prosecution for possession of small amounts of cannabis for personal use should come to an end, but it is not arguing for the full-scale legalisation of cannabis. Jimmy has texted in to say, I've smoked weed for 35-plus years, got nicked for it in 1995, complete and utter waste of time. It never stopped me. I've lived in the US where it's legal, and I don't understand why we can't take the same approach. Washington State alone made $500 million in tax revenue in the first couple of years. It is madness to keep it prohibited. I want to go back to Dave in Surbiton. We lost your call a bit earlier, Dave. You were arguing that you think it should be legalized, but what do you think about the measures that this commission report is recommending?
Well, it's a step in the right direction because it's a complete waste of police time, and most police don't support it, from what I understand. So it's a step in the right direction, but it just doesn't go far enough because fundamentally it would be safer Why would you want to buy it from a reputable company who's going to give you good advice rather than a drug dealer who could be selling other things as well? There's just no logical argument not to do it, to bring in the tax revenue. The safest cannabis in the world at the moment is in California. Because it's legal, you can buy vape pens and the same you can buy nicotine pens, and it's the safest way to consume it. And that's only possible because it's a legal market, which it isn't actually in Amsterdam, so they have more freedom to be able to produce these the safest products possible. The only explanation I can think in this country why they haven't done it is because the government have too much influence over lobbying from the pharmaceutical companies and the alcohol companies. It's the only logical explanation I can think of why they wouldn't do so.
But why would that lobby be an impact? Because they don't want the money to be divided between their products and another product.
Yeah. Anyone that's got experience with both will know that alcohol is rubbish in comparison, and personal experience, or anyone else's, I would say. And so it's going to take their sales away. Plus, it's got so many medicinal uses. You can grow it yourself. Like, I mean, the first caller said, it's not taking his medication because it's a safer, less toxic substance which could replace loads of their medications, which essentially are killing us.
Right. Dave, I'm glad we got you back. Thanks very much indeed for calling into LBC tonight. May has texted to say, please don't spread your American liberal views to us. I don't know if that message is directed to me personally. She says, once the genie is out of the box, it cannot be put back. The UK is already full of gang-related knife crimes. Don't make it worse. I mean, it's not apparent to me that since marijuana was legalized, for example, in Washington, D.C., we've seen some dramatic uptick in violent crime. I'm not sure what the connection is there. Let's talk to Mary in Birmingham. Mary, good evening.
Hi there.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm not a weed smoker. I've never smoked it.
Right.
But, you know, I can't stand the smell of it. And I can just well imagine, you know, legalising this, you know, the smell of it's going to be everywhere. It's bad enough when you're living in a flat, an apartment block, when you can smell the people's food coming up through the plug hole. Just to think somebody else's weed smoking smell would be coming through, seeping through the floors and the plug holes. It just absolutely, no way. I would not be able to stand for that.
Okay, but where did you stand on tobacco smoke?
Well, I'm not a smoker either, and I don't think, you know, in hindsight, that should have never been legalised. I mean, weed has got a different pungency, I think, to tobacco smoke anyway. It's disgusting.
No, you know, I completely agree with you, but I find myself in a quandary about this because it absolutely drives me crazy in Washington, D.C., to encounter it, and I encounter it constantly. I mean, when I'm returning home from the office, I bike from my office back to the house, and you know, you're driving up the main sort of north-south road in Washington DC, and car windows are open, and you're assaulted by wafts of marijuana smoke from people that are actually driving cars, which is not legal, but equally, you know, we found ways of regulating where people are allowed to smoke tobacco. I'm no longer assaulted by tobacco smoke when I get on an underground train or a bus like I used to be when I was a kid in the UK. Why can't we find ways of legalizing cannabis but regulating where people are allowed to smoke
it? Well, you can't regulate the smell. That's the thing. I used to work as a healthcare professional, and I remember going to treat this lady in her home out in the community, and she was clearly a weed smoker. You know, she didn't smoke in front of me, but the place stunk of weed. And I was there for an hour helping with her exercises, came back to the office to write up a note, and I absolutely stunk of weed. I mean, everyone was looking at me thinking I'd had a spliff somewhere whilst I was out. You know, it's so embarrassing. It was absolutely disgusting. And, you know, I just dread it. I just don't think we'd be able to regulate it in this country. I think it would cause loads of other kind of antisocial problems. There's bad enough cigarette butts everywhere on the streets, so there'll be spliff butts everywhere now. And no, you know, as a non-spliff user, I just can't imagine society which legalises this thing now.
All right, Mary's not standing for it. She's in Birmingham, also in Birmingham tonight. Zalika. Zalika, thanks very much for calling LBC. What's your view on the legalisation of cannabis?
Hi, Simon. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Well, for me, Like, I do agree with it, because what it is, I am epileptic.
Mm-hmm.
And I, too, take, like, three medications for my epilepsy. But that doesn't, like, I still do have seizures and I still have different kind of effects due to my epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find, like, when I just have, like, a couple of pours, I don't have the epilepsy high, but just a couple of pours of cannabis, I can feel the change, and like I just need to be in my system for a few hours. I don't have to be high or anything like that, and it does help with my epilepsy.
It has a positive. It has a positive impact on your epilepsy.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, but when I have tried through the NHS, I can't really get it through the NHS, because through the NHS, the criteria is you need to have like two child forms. Types of epilepsy, leg spasms due to MS, and like sickness treatment due to chemotherapy. And even though I do have like different like neurological problems, because I had TB meningitis when I was younger, and like even with like the leg spasms, that stops and it helps with all the muscles, so it's like it helps in more than one way. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems, I did not realise that even for medical purposes, it was almost impossible to get your hands on it here. And it is so widely used for medical purposes in so many other parts of the world. And if I was looking, I'm on the NHS website now, explaining the rules of the road for how you, the limited availability of it. But the website makes it clear that absolutely it can help with all sorts of conditions. It's just extraordinarily difficult to get.
Yeah, and I've never heard of anyone getting it via through the NHS.
Absolutely extraordinary. Zalika, thanks very much indeed for calling in. Steve is on the line from Westminster. And Steve, you, I think, suffer from epilepsy, but have had a very different experience from Zalika.
I have. Unfortunately, the cannabis and other drugs similar to those which you can get more smell in the air aggravate my epilepsy. I was on the underground of Victoria Station recently, getting ready to board a train, and then somebody lit up a spliff next to me, and I could feel my legs going, and I had to rush backwards very quickly, and then suddenly I collapsed and went into a seizure.
Now, of course, it doesn't necessarily mean that all cannabis of all varieties would necessarily have that impact on you, because it's possible that because this is such an underground market, you were encountering a particularly strong version of it.
I've had that happen many times
really?
Before though. I mean, even just a few days ago, I was over near the Embankment tube station. There's a small park as you come out of the Embankment.
Yes, I know it well. Absolutely.
I was sitting in there with a friend chatting away, and somebody walked past, having been smoking a joint. And with that, suddenly I could feel myself going into a seizure. But because a gust of wind came along, it blew the smoke and everything away, and I was able to stop myself from falling on the floor. But then about 20 minutes later, five or six guys stood about 30 feet behind us, and they started smoking joints and everything, and it sent me into a fit.
So, Steve, what's your view about legalisation?
I strongly condemn it. I support the use of things like cannabis for people with MS and other medical conditions, but I don't like the thought of it being legalised so it can be used freely in the streets, because I'll be having more and more seizures.
Yes.
I even had one a couple of months ago when somebody got on a bus and they had just finished smoking a spliff and they threw the spliff on the floor. When they got on the bus, they just exhaled all the smoke and it sent me into a fit on the bus.
Well, this is why I think there has to be some regulation about where it can be smoked, in exactly the same way as we currently regulate where tobacco can be smoked. Steve, thanks for sharing that experience. Let's go to Paul in Streatham. Paul, what would you like to say?
Greetings. I was talking to a friend quite recently the other day, and I was saying to him, do you reckon cannabis would ever be legal during our lifetime in the UK? And both of us came to the conclusion, no, it would never be legal over here.
Why? However, why do you think it will never be legal here?
I just think, like, the British government and the system over here just don't want that to be legal because, you know, and the thing is, when I was growing up, right, in Europe, it was only Amsterdam that was the place to go for that sort of stuff. Now, as far as Europe goes, Portugal's legal, semi-legal, Spain's legal, Amsterdam's legal, even Jamaica's turned legal. You can have like 2 aunts in Jamaica and America. So I'm looking at it like the rest of the world is going that way. So why aren't we over here?
But why do you think that there is so much opposition that it is essentially insurmountable? Why do you think it will not be legalized in your life?
I just think that there's certain sections of society just don't want it to be legal. Yeah. I just don't want it to be legal because, I mean, it's proven already that the money that you can make from it by taxing it is astronomical.
Well, that's absolutely true, Paul. Absolutely. I mean, at a time of economic dislocation in this country where the government is looking for every additional taxpayer pound that it can get its hands on, I can't think of a faster way to raise tax revenues than to legalise and tax it. But there are all sorts of listeners that are calling in and texting in who oppose legalisation, which sort of underscores your view that perhaps it will not be legalised in your lifetime. We're going to continue getting as many of you on the air as we can between now and 1 a.m. on this topic. The time is now 12:45.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Richard Spur.
Nigel Farage has spoken directly to Labour voters in a bid to win over working class families. You'll hear more of his new policies, and I want to know whether they've won you over.
Richard Spur on LBC.
The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963. A Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
Protect your dog from fleas and ticks with new Front Pro chewable tablets. Easy to give, each tablet offers 1 month's protection, helping to keep your dog happy, healthy and close. Because nothing should come between you. Front Pro chewable tablets from the makers of Frontline. Available online or in-store from pet specialist retailers. For more information, see uk.frontline.com. Contains Afoxolana.
Barclays Ready-Made Investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays Where Do I Begin Investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level. So they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
Simon Marks on LBC. Text 84850.
Which is what Louis has done to say cannabis should not be legalised, but neither should users be blocking jail space. Therefore, a fine should be in order. That's for users only, says Louis. Pushers should get jail time, but it's pointless sending users to jail, which is very much what this new report, this commission report, is proposing, to allow small amounts of cannabis to be held for personal use. Jane has texted in to say the police once visited my house and I was smoking cannabis. There was no hiding it. They said not to worry. They didn't care. 90% of the country smokes it. With their windows open, says Jane. Caroline from Hertfordshire has sent us a comment via Alexa. If more people smoke, she says, we wouldn't have as many fatalities in A&E on a Saturday night caused as a result of alcohol. Let's go back to the phone lines. Keena is a first-time caller to LBC from Bexley Heath. Keena, what would you like to say this evening?
Hello there. Yeah, my name's Tina, and I basically wanted to say myself, I'm a patient, and I get a prescription. I have to pay for mine out of my benefits because I've got severe disabilities, and I used to work prior to being ill, and I was very seriously ill. So the cannabis saved my life, basically. I used to be on various amounts of opiates. It wasn't just one. It was multiple opiates because I've got arthritis in my spine, my coccyx, my hands. I've got progressive lung disease, which has seemed to have gone into remission now, and that's only been since I've been vaping cannabis. I'm pretty much reclusive to my house. I have to have full-time care. My partner cares for me full-time because I'm not physically capable. And sometimes I'm medicating at the moment. Hence, I wouldn't be able to talk to you properly. But like I say, I believe it should be on the NHS. It shouldn't be. People shouldn't be forced to go to illicit means in order to help their children.
And Keena, just explain to me how you are getting it. You said you received it through a prescription, right?
Yes.
And so are you getting it on the NHS?
No. I get it through the private
sector. So it's a private sector prescription.
Yes.
And then where do you go to get it filled? Because there aren't cannabis dispensaries here, so where do you go to get it?
Ah, there is, actually.
Oh.
There is. You'll find, basically, for people like myself, obviously, I can't go out, so I have to do the majority of my things from home. Put it this way, when everyone was, what did they call it? I can't remember what they called it. When COVID was about...
lockdown, when we were locked down.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't been out of lockdown. The right. only times I've been coming out is because I've had to go to appointments. But like I say, I've improved greatly. My quality of life has improved greatly since I've come off all the opiates. I was on naproxen. I was on tramadol. I'm still on fentanyl, but I'm coming off of that.
But just go back to the cannabis prescription. How do you get it filled?
Basically, it's all done via my clinic, and it's done all online, basically, and it's delivered to you. So it's completely safe.
But you are obviously paying... said it was... Yes.
Yeah.
But you would favour it, obviously, being benefit. Available through the NHS. And, I mean, what's so interesting is if you go to this NHS website, you can see the NHS explaining that there are various ailments for which it is effective, but also explaining that it's extraordinarily difficult to get.
Yes, when I first asked for it, and this was, I can't remember whether it was prior to me having sepsis shock or after, I was told... by my GP at the time, that and that was when, Sativex was out, that was it. And I was told by an exasperated doctor at the time, although I would probably benefit from it, he can't afford to sanction it for me. This is where we started to look about, find out what was going on in regards to Parliament and so forth. And obviously we found out the cannabis clinics later on were about because I joined the Project Tweed Free... Oh, gosh. See, I told you. Project T21.
Right.
I started on that as well. And so there's a lot of evidence there. But as far as collecting, filling the prescription, it's extremely easy.
Yes.
But like I say, I've got no choice. I'm unable to take any other medicines because I have a reactive condition, which means my lungs collapse. my heart starts going. It's mast cell activation syndrome. It's a condition that affects the autonomic system. And cannabis is one of the ones, and this I wouldn't have found out unless I was taking cannabis from the clinic, that vaping at a certain temperature actually helps assist symptoms, and it does.
Understood. Keena, thank you very much indeed for calling LBC, your first call to LBC. I hope it won't be your last, and thanks for sharing your experience and the best of luck with the challenges that you are facing. David has texted from Adelaide in Australia. He says cannabis has been decriminalised in South Australia for decades. It's not a huge problem, broadly speaking, though it is a pathway to other drugs such as meth. Police also have random breath tests for drivers for alcohol and drugs, so there are some safeguards for road users. Let's go to Chris on the phone lines from Oxford. Chris, good evening.
You're right. I can't actually top the last caller. She was spot on everything. Mm. Myself, I can't have any kind of painkillers, only paracetamol. And I use cannabis. I've also got mental health problems, and I find that it helps a lot when I get really, really, really stressed out. And the morning or night that I died, they brought me back. I found that cannabis was helping ease the pain and the blood pressure, and it basically saved my life. If I hadn't have called up and been smoking, I could have died before I got to an hospital.
I'm just reading a text that's come in, Chris, from a listener, Jenny, who says, in County Durham, it was decriminalised for personal use a few years ago. You can have two plants for personal use. And I've just done a fast Google search. And indeed, North Yorkshire Police say that in County Durham, you can grow cannabis plants for personal use if you have a medical condition, for instance, like fibromyalgia. That's fascinating. There is a place in the UK where access it.
There is, I think, called GWS. There's quite a lot of companies within the UK. We supply quite a lot to the Americans.
Right.
From Britain. I mean, if we can supply them, why can't we be supplying our own people?
Oh, absolutely. And it is, of course, as you know, an absolutely massive market in the United States, and one that is generating, as I was saying, enormous amounts of tax revenues. One of our listeners has texted in to say one of your earlier callers said he replaced 22 separate medications with cannabis. The pharmaceutical industry would stand to lose an inestimable amount of revenue if people self-medicated. By the way, the pharma industry in the UK is currently worth £33 billion, with wholesaling estimated to be $64 billion. So have a guess why cannabis will never be legal under any government. Let's finish this hour by talking to Kate in Tring. Good morning to you, Kate.
Good morning, Simon. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. What would you like to say?
No, it's just I agree with everyone that wants to legalise it, but it's really hard when you live in that. My daughter lives in West Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
and they legalised cannabis, and all of a sudden, the smell, everywhere you go, everything, it sticks to you. You can't get it off. And the rules in America, you can't smoke tobacco anywhere near buildings or even in the apartment complex she lives in. And yet you can smoke cannabis. So they're all smoking cannabis and everybody's walking around high, literally, even if you don't smoke.
Well, I think that's the situation that you encounter in major cities across the United States now. Certainly I do, in Washington, in New York, when I travel elsewhere. But that's not an argument for keeping it criminalised. It's an argument for getting it out there and then for regulating and enforcing the regulations for where it can be smoked.
Exactly. And when they say you can't smoke tobacco, but you can smoke cannabis, it's really weird.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Kate, thanks very much for calling in. I lied. I said Kate was going to be the last caller, but let's go to Sophie in Kingston. Sophie, I've got about a minute left before Richard Spur, who's gargling in the wings, takes over at this microphone. But Sophie, why don't you wrap up our conversation? What would you like to say?
Okay. I'm a nurse, a retired nurse. My daughter has severe learning disabilities with complex epilepsy. the product that she's been put on for Lennox-Gastaut-type epilepsy is not smoked. It's a liquid, and it's been prescribed by a professor at the Royal Neurology Hospital in Camden. Mm. Okay? So she is one of the very few that has this product.
And what's the impact, Sophie?
And it's been brilliant. Mm. My daughter had 350 seizures a month, Simon. Mm. 350 seizures a month. It was appalling. Drop attacks, tonic-clonic seizures. Anybody who's listening would understand what I'm talking about. They have reduced, and we're trying to get her off all the toxic chemicals.
Good.
That she's been prescribed for years and years and years.
Sophie, thanks very much indeed for sharing that with us. We're going to have to wrap up there, but I know this is a story that you'll be hearing more about on LBC in the hours ahead. Thank you for all your calls and texts. I will be back again at 10 tonight. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the brand new LBC app, where you can stay up to date with all the latest news and opinion and put your news categories in the order you want. Pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts, and you can find it free in the App Store now. Coming up at 4, it's Ian Payne, but first, and it is a first for me, we've spoken so many times on the air, but we've never met. It's Richard Spurr.
It is lovely to see you. Very welcome. Still to come, almost half of teenagers live with just one parent, with family breakdowns reaching the highest level since records began. I'll be asking if you've made a one-parent family work and whether there's enough help available for you to make it work. But first, the Reform UK leader Nigel Farage has made a direct pitch to Labour voters with a range of policies which he hopes will...